word. May we be consumed with your love. May our hearts open to see what you've provided for us. May we desire the intimacy that you speak about in your word. And Father, may we truly understand the work that you've completed from the beginning. Father, you've set it in motion, and nothing, no mind of humanity, no demon, no devil can stop what you have set in motion for your sons and daughters. And Father, as we began to open and share this word today, Father, I ask you to just release your peace upon us. And may all the confusion that comes against us through the week and through every day of our life, may we just place it aside, Father. And at this time, at least at this time, let us hear your Spirit speak freely with our spirit. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 1. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Within thy locks, thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear upon Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like the flock of sheep that are shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bears twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the tower of David, builded for an armory, whereupon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies, until the day break and the shadows flee away. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me to Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon, look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens and from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of your eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices? Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are as the orchards of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor and spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living water, streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. In the last chapter, chapter 3, we spoke about how the woman was speaking. What's been taught the Shulamite woman. Well, the Shulamite woman is the soul of Solomon. Okay? You all know that now, right? We're talking about Solomon's soul. This is something going on within us. It's not something going on within the world. It's not some history lesson that we're learning about. This is about a reality of your life and coming into intimacy with your man, Christ. Okay? The third chapter basically was, she was talking about all the things, and they were having this conversation from the very beginning. This is him and her having a conversation, which is internal, going on. So now in the fourth chapter, we get to hear what his side of the story is. In the third chapter, she told what she felt and how she was reacting inside. And now we get to hear what he has to say. Now, who is this speaking? This is Christ in you, talking to you. Now, you got to hear this. It's you he's talking about. The Christ in you is talking to your woman, your soul. He says, behold, you are what? Beautiful. That word fair is not fair. It's just, I don't know why they put it there, just to hide something. But the word says beautiful, specifically, beautiful. What does God think about you? When God created us in Genesis, when God created everything in Genesis chapter 1, when he got to the end of the chapter, last verse, what did he say?
Very good.
No, he didn't say it's good. He says very good. He looked at his creation and said it's very good. If God did something and said it's very good, I'd believe it's very good, wouldn't you? If God says you're beautiful, what are you? We're not talking about flesh. We're talking about the inner person, the real person. It's beautiful. Oh, you got to see this. He said, you're beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. He didn't say it once. He said it twice. Why? It's a witness to this. He's not just casual. He wants you to know for sure that your man loves you and he thinks you're beautiful. So what someone else thinks about you is not really material, is it? It's all kind of immaterial whenever his decision is put forth. He said, you have dove's eyes. What would that mean? Dove's eyes. A dove's eyes. Single vision. Guess what her whole intent is? It's him. See? Her whole intent is him. Now see, we're not talking about everybody's soul, are we? We're talking about the ones that have fallen in love with their Christ. That have truly fallen in love with God. And their vision is single vision. They're not trying to save the world and hold on to God. They're just holding on to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, they got a vision for God. They got their vision straight toward him, and they're not listening to anybody else. He said, you have dove's eyes, not within. This is where you get deceived in this language. It's the word should be behind, and the word locks is not locks. It's a veil. Behind the veil, you have dove's eyes. What he's telling you is when you were created, as he said in Ecclesiastes, he placed the world in your heart so you could not know the end from the beginning. So he's telling you here, behind this veil of your flesh, you have the single vision of an eye, of a dove. Get the single eye, and that eye is for nothing more than your man. I'm going to tell you what. You look at a woman walking in the natural, and she gets a man in her eye. Tell me anybody walking around, and she sees that man, they see that man walk near that woman, they can't tell it. Huh? Could you tell it? When that woman is in love with a man, and that man gets close to her, what happens to her eyes? They just gleam and glisten. Because that's her man. See? Why can't we have that same passion? And that's what he's telling us. Behind this veil of your thinking, you have this passion for God. See, we don't see it, do we? And the reason we don't see people with this passion is because of this veil of flesh. They're afraid. They're inhibited. And we need to be uninhibited that we can show our love for God. We can show this passion that people are afraid to show. Why should we not be able to show our passion? Why can't we? The world can do all kinds of stupid things. The church does all kinds of stupid things, but they won't show their passion for God. Something's bad wrong. Bad wrong. Oh. Your hair is as a flock of goats. Anybody think a bunch of goats' hair is pretty? See, we're not talking about that. He said, your hair, what's hair? It's covering. Your covering is as beautiful, he's saying. And what is your covering? His righteousness. He was talking about all those speckled goats up on the hill, all them different multicolors. It is beautiful to look at all those up on a mountain like that, because there's no vegetation hardly up there, and you can really stick out. They're really plain. They stick right out in your vision. And that's what he's saying. He said, your covering really is very apparent. Who is your covering? It's Christ. It's His righteousness. And it should be very apparent that you are covered by Christ. See, if I am uninhibited, you will very well know who my covering is. True or false? See? We've got to get out of this foolishness of hiding who we are. We're behind that veil, and we've got to come out of that veil to find out who we are. Okay? Hang on. We're going on a journey. Your hair is as the flock of goats that appear from Mount where? Well, Gilead is a rocky region. That's up on top of the mountain. You know, the book says that all green grass and herbs and vegetation is what? Flesh. So when you get to the rocky region, guess what there isn't? There's no flesh. We're talking about the heavenlies. We're talking about Mount Zion. Okay? We're talking about the highest realm with God. The Holy of Holies. The tabernacles. Okay? So that's what we've got to do. And it's going to stand out. Because if there is no flesh, no vegetation on that rocky part of the mountain, what do you think you will look like standing there? You'll be beautiful, but you'll be like a sore thumb sticking out. It'll be so apparent who you are. It's not going to be you. It's going to be Christ in you that's standing out in that place. It's going to be so apparent. See? Nothing you can do about it, because when you come to that place, you're just going to be apparent. Why do you think they call it His appearing? Not His coming, as the church wants to preach it in the language says in the King James, but it's an appearing. See, it's going to be very apparent who you are, because you're in love with your man. That ain't nothing to be ashamed of. Oh my. I could stay there all day, but I'm going to move on because we've got a few more things to do. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn. Doesn't that sound romantic? Your teeth look like a bunch of sheep. Smelly, stinky sheep. That's not what he's talking about. When the sheep are shorn, what do they look like? Well, they look silly. They're exposed. What are your teeth for? What are they? Where are they at? They're in your mouth. And that's what he's talking about. Your mouth will be what? By what? By your words. What you say. It's so apparent. See? Because you're going to talk the words of God. True or false? Come on now. This isn't, you got to go beyond this natural reading and understand that God's trying to say, your teeth being shorn, they have been they've all been clipped off the same level. They're talking an even word. It's not something up today, down tomorrow. Man, this is going to be a flat level line. I'm on top of the mountain, and there's like a big plateau up there now. I don't have to go down, have to worry about walking on a little precipice on a ridge or something. Man, it's like a big highway because of the faith that God has put in our lives. We don't have to worry no more, do we? That's what he's trying to tell you. This is an encouragement. Can you hear it? Oh, help me. Which came up from the what? Well, what is a washing? Huh?
The word bending.
It's more than that. It's more than that. It's a baptism. And I'm going to tell you what, there's more than a baptism here. Because you know what? You don't baptize live people. Doesn't it say in Romans 6 that in Him we're buried with Him in baptism? This is talking about somebody's done been through it. Hello. They've came up. See? He didn't say go down. He said come up from the washing. And when we go into baptism, we're buried with Him in baptism. And when we come out of the water, it says in Romans 6, we're raised with what? Newness of life. This is resurrection. Oh God. Come on. Somebody catch up with me. Whereof everyone. And the words whereof everyone, there's only one word there. It's the word kol in the Hebrew. It's all. All bear twins. Literally, you know what it says? All are joined. Doesn't say bear twins. It says all are joined. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that the Feast of Tabernacles? Isn't that coming back together? The ingathering? Come on. Whew. And none is what? Yeah. Or literally childless among them. You know why? Because you're going to produce what you are. You don't have an option in this. Does a tree out in the woods say, I think I'll bear another tree tomorrow? What does it do? It just does. And Christ come, and it says, Jesus even said this, that your purpose was that you bear much fruit. So guess what you're going to do when you come to this place? When you start having this relationship, this is an intimacy he's talking about. And now he's telling you all these great things about yourself. Now, which woman in here don't like to hear their man tell them how good they are? Nobody wants to hear that? You don't want to hear your man tell you how good you are? See, you're all inhibited again. You're all sitting there afraid somebody's going to hear you say yes. You're not even hearing what I'm saying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When I ask you the question, how many women in here would like to have their man tell them how good they are, and not one woman responded, except my wife. And you're still not responding. Whew. Oh.
You are a woman.
Oh, God. If you're intimate with him, if the man and woman get together, come on, they ain't got no say, but they get together, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be, yeah, there'll be a little shouting, but there's going to be fruit bared. Isn't that the purpose of man and woman coming together?
Yes.
Okay. Come on, we can't produce anything except what we are. So when we realize who we really are behind this veil, and realize we are behind a veil, see, most people don't want to admit that they're behind a veil. That's right, we've got to come out. This whole chapter is going to show you. It's got to come out of you. And this is why he's talking to us. He's trying to encourage us to come out from behind that veil. Don't hide behind it any longer. Don't hide behind this stinking thinking that the world has trained us in. God's saying, no, 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 you're much more than this. You're much more than this. You can do better. I've already provided it for you. Come on out here and see what you are. Come into the light of the day. Oh, God. Your lips are like a thread of scarlet or crimson. And your speech is comely. What's he talking about again? Your lips are like a thread of scarlet or crimson. It speaks of the crucifixion. The crimson, you know, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. It should be crimson again. And your speech, what is the speech? It's your mouth again. But where does it come from? See, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So guess what? Where's your speech coming from? From a crucified, resurrected mind, the mind of Christ. And guess what's going to come out of there? The Word of God. Do you think it's going to be tainted? No. See, it can't be tainted. And once we come from behind the veil, nothing can be tainted. Once we come from behind the veil. It's already in perfection back there, but as long as we step behind the veil, we see ourselves in less than what we really are. But when we come out of there, that's why he said in Corinthians, Paul said, we look through a glass dimly. See, we're looking through that veil that's making us think that we're just humanity. But guess what? When you come outside, you're going to get a clear picture. Oh. God help us. Your temples are what? Your temples are like a piece of pomegranate behind the veil again, is what it should say. Behind the veil. What are we talking about? What's the temples? What's in here? Uh-huh. Your mind. He's just talking about the mind of Christ. He's saying, you got the mind of Christ. Didn't Paul say that? Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. He didn't say I had, he said, we have. We have this mind of Christ. And that's exactly what he's trying to portray to us, that we have the mind of Christ. All you got to do is come on out. Get from behind that veil, see? That veil is a crutch to most people. It's an excuse not to come into this relationship. It's an excuse not to come into this intimacy, because you have to be uninhibited. You got to let it loose. And see, the drunks of the world, they got something on us, most of the church. Because you know what a drunk is? He is not inhibited. He is uninhibited. And that's when we partake of the wine of his understanding, guess what's going to happen? We're going to become uninhibited. Why do you think the people said, man, when we ever see someone teach with such boldness? Because he had a little bit of wine in him, didn't he? See? And they called Jesus a wine bibber because he must have had to drink a little bit, or they wouldn't have said that. You see what I'm saying? He partook of the wine of the love of God, and guess what? He could just express what he was. And that's where our problem is, this veil. Behind this veil, we don't know who we are. And we keep telling ourselves, this mind up here keeps telling us, you are not. But God says you are. You believe which one you want to. I won't tell you what to do. You make up your mind where you want to live. Your neck is like the Tower of David. What does David mean? Beloved. What does the neck speak about? A lot of people say stubbornness, will, purpose, you know, desires. Okay. But he says, because of the neck speaks of that desire in you, okay? It's a foundation, it's a support for this. But this desire, what is it? The Tower of David, and David was the worshiper, wasn't he? And he was beloved of God, and it was built as a what? It says for an armory, but literally it says it was built tall. Okay? Whereon the word, out for an armory literally is just the word tall. It was built tall. Whereof there whereon hang 1,000 shields, all shields of mighty men. What do you think it really is? What do you think his tower really is? That all these things are hanging on. It's built up tall. Oh yeah. And see, it took all the shields, 1,000, the symbolism. All the shields. And what's the shield? Isn't that kind of like a veil you're hiding behind, huh? It's the same thing. You're hiding behind something to protect yourself. And see, that's what that veil in your mind is. You're hiding from something. You think you're protecting yourself. And just like Lois said today, the fear of falling into the hands of the living God. That's what it's about. And that's what that tower is. He says, you're a beautiful tower. See? You're more beautiful than this. And see, how many people look at the cross and say, oh, it's a terrible thing. But guess what it really is? It's the only way to come back into the reality of it. It's the most beautiful thing. The cross is not an instrument of death. It's an instrument of life. And people can't see it. Nothing I can do about it. If they don't have eyes to see or ears to hear, it's up to God to do that. Your two breasts are like two young roes or does that are twins. That's a witness, isn't it? Which feed among the what? You know what the lilies is? They feed among the lilies. Huh? I couldn't hear it. Well, they're in the valley. But the lilies literally speak of a thing that is trumpet-shaped. What is trumpet always in the Scripture? Guess what? These two are doing what? They're feeding on the Word of God. They're living on the Word of God. Yeah, aren't we supposed to do that? Also, two twins here speaks of what? Two speaks of what? Witness, duality, mixture, and isn't that also speaking of soul? Okay. Saying your soul is feeding on what? The Word of God. And when you feed on the Word of God, guess what it will do? It will separate the soul and the spirit. Okay? It'll sift it out. Verse 6, until the day break and the shadows flee away. Now this is what he's saying. Listen. He's telling her something, if you can hear it. He said, until the day break, until the day star comes in your heart, until the shadows flee away, until we're walking in the reality of this thing, which is now. It's not going to be someday. It already is a done deal. And he says, he's telling her, now look, I'm going to the mountain until. I'm going up on the mountain and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to wait for you to come to me. Do you hear me? I'm going to wait for you to come to me. He said, I'm going to the mountain. Of what? What does myrrh speak of? It speaks of a sweet fragrance. It speaks of an anointing. He said, so I'm going to the mountain of myrrh. Wonder what that would be, the mountain of anointing. Well, he's going to the Holy of Holies, Mount Zion. That's the highest place. And I'm going to go sit down there, and I'm going to wait on you. And if you'll listen to what I've told you, you can come there too. Didn't he say, I'm going away and prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. God. And to the hill of frankincense. He's going to the hill of fragrance, that's the Holy of Holies, and the hill of frankincense, or literally the hill of, that word right there is not frankincense, it's Lebanon something, like the word Lebanon, where we get Lebanon, which is righteousness. So he's going to the hill, the Holy of Holies, which is righteousness. He's going to the righteous mountain, the mountain of Zion. Oh, God. What's he say again in verse 7? You're all beautiful, my love. You're all beauty, my love. Everything about you is what?
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Oh, man. Can you hear? You've got to hear this in your own heart. God's saying this about you. You're beautiful to Him. You're a perfect creation that He created. He didn't make a mistake. I'm not even worried about the flesh. I'm talking about inside you, who you really are. God created you perfect in the day that He created you. Read in Ezekiel 28. He was perfect in the day He was created. Perfect in the day He was created. Job said the same thing. Loved God and hated evil. See? He was right. But there was this veil of flesh that's messed everything up. He said, you're all beautiful, my love. There is not a spot in you. Didn't he say he wanted a bride without spot nor wrinkle? See, no blemishes in her. Now see, that's not what the church is preaching today. The church is preaching today, you ain't nothing but a dirty, rotten sinner that's been saved by grace, and you'll die a dirty, rotten sinner saved by grace. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. You're not a sinner saved by grace. You're a child of God who has been cleansed by His blood. And if I've been cleansed by His blood and you've been cleansed by His blood, there is no longer a spot or blemish on you. Hello? There's no spot or blemish. That's just a lie. That's all behind the veil stuff. See? That's the church stuff. They hide behind a veil and tell all these stories. They're not true. I believe God's Word. And I believe we've already been cleansed. And I believe there's no spot in us. There's a paper laying right over here. I can pick it up. Right here. This is what the Bible says about us. New Testament. It says, God says we're sons of God. He says we're born again. He says we're unblameable. He says we're unreprovable. We're righteous. We're justified. We're joint heirs. We're as He is. And is He righteous and holy? Okay, then we are too. He says we're ambassadors. He says we're accepted, not rejected. He says we're accepted. He says we're holy. We're adopted. We're sanctified, set apart for His use. We're predestined. We're seated in heavenly places. We're reconciled. We're hid with Christ in God. We're forgiven. We're redeemed. We're called. We're glorified. We're the temple of God. We're a new creation. We're chosen. We were bought with a price. We're God's elect. We're God's loved. We were born of God. We are the light of the world. We're complete in Him. We're beloved of God. We're washed. We're saints. We're children of the living God. We're blessed. We're faithful. And we're perfected. And my God, if that's a blotter or blemish, somebody needs to get their eyes opened. There ain't nothing wrong with that. And that's what God says we are. Oh, man. No spot. And then He gives you an invitation. See, I've never preached invitations. I don't give altar calls and things like that. But this is an invitation of Christ to you. Come with me, not from, come with me to Lebanon. Okay? Come with me to the place of righteousness. Come on up. Doesn't the Spirit always say in Revelation, come up hither. Come up here. You got to elevate yourself. God's going to do it. He says, come with me to Lebanon, my bride, not spouse, my bride. With me to Lebanon, he says it twice as a witness. Look from the top of Amana and from the top of Shinir. Amana is a place of support. It's a foundational place. And from the place of Shinir, which is a place of righteousness, it's called the mountain of snow. And a mountain covered with snow is what color?
White.
It's white, and that symbolizes righteousness. So he says, come on up here with me. And from the lion's den. Hello, lion's den. Where do you think you're going to look from? When you elevate there, we were talking about this morning, we can see the wickedness and the iniquity that's in the world. We can see it from the lion's den. Where? Right here. Come on up on top and guess what you can see? The complete picture when you get on top of the mountain. Okay? And from the mountains of the what? Mountains of the leopards. Excuse me. I missed a word there. I said Shemar and Hermon. That's the sanctuary. When it says the foundation of righteousness and the sanctuary. And from the lion's den and from the mountains of the leopards. Now, what is a leopard? First thing you look at a leopard, what do you see?
Spots.
See? In this carnality, the lion's den, and in this mountain or this kingdom of the leopard, the spotted thing, the kingdom of sin right here, the carnal mind. See, when you're there, guess what? He says, I want you to be able to look through this. He put us in a body of flesh, didn't he? And we have to be able to look through this veil and see the reality of what God says, even though we're in, he said, from the lion's den and from the mountain of the leopard. So we got to be in this kingdom of where it is, this fleshly realm, before we can ever see out and see this beauty. He's going to take us, like we said, the flow is not going in, but the flow is, I got to come out. See, I got to go someplace. I got to come out and I got to look out through all this stuff in this world to see where it's at. Because you know where my job is? Out there. See, his job's in here. He's the one making you right. Once you get right, guess what your job is then? To go back out into humanity and help the rest, just like he did. See, he was right, and he come out to help us, right? And same thing we got to do. Look what he says in verse 9. You have ravaged my heart. You know what that word there, ravaged, means? To bake a cake. To bake a cake. It does. Literally does. There's two meanings for it. It can either be ravished or it can be to bake a cake. To make a cake. So like Steve said, I told Steve, he was in the Word this morning. There's some cake baking going on, see? See, he said, and you know, quickest way they say to a man's heart's through his stomach, through his mouth. So, you know, she's baked a cake for her man. She's fed him. She gave him some sweet bread, didn't she? But he said, you've ravished my heart, my sister, my bride. You have ravished my heart with one of your eyes, or the singleness of your vision. See, you've ravished me because you have put your full attention on me. You know how for a woman to get a man's attention? Cook for him or put her attention on him. And when you get someone in your life, and women the same way, if a man gives you his full attention, what does it do to you? Doesn't it ravish your heart? Come on. Sure it does. And he said, you've ravished my heart because of the singleness of your vision, because your eye is not on some other man while you're with me. And see, that's where most people are, in the spirit. They're saying, well, we love God this morning, and as soon as we get out of church and go someplace, guess what? I'm just looking all over the place, where I can find my next man. That's an adulterer. When you're married to one, you can't have another, can you? See, only one. And this is Christ. We're not talking about in the natural here. We're talking spiritual. I can't be in love with myself because there's only two men in the earth, self and Christ. Self's got to go. There's one too many if they're both there. You have ravished my heart with one of your eyes, with the singleness of your vision, and with one chain of your neck. It's all one thing. Don't have to be led about by more than one chain. I got one, that's enough. That's that chain of love around my heart, and that's enough to lead me anywhere He wants me to go. He said, how beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine? And again, we talked about wine. Wine is an uninhibiting drink, isn't it? So he's saying, when someone is totally uninhibited, and don't get your mind in the gutter here, but I got to say it this way. When you're in bed with your spouse and you're totally uninhibited, what's that experience like? Can you even put it in words? You can't. And that's exactly what he's trying to tell you. You can't go into this relationship with baggage from the world. You got to clear the deck. Throw it out. When I go into my time with Him, there can be nothing between me and Him but me and Him. Nothing else. Totally uninhibited. And then that's going to put us in a place of ecstasy. Would that be a good word? The only way you're going to get there is you got to be there with a vision to each other. No distractions. Totally uninhibited. You go to God uninhibited, and I promise you this, you'll stand in the presence of God immediately. You don't have to wait for nothing. You let your shield down. You take that veil off, and you stand before God, uninhibited. I don't care what anybody says, anybody thinks, does, or anything else. I love my man, and I'm going to be here for him. You know what? You'll see things, and you'll get things that nobody else sees. Because the people that's uninhibited will see the kingdom of God, and the rest won't. They'll only look across the river at it and say, there's a city over there somewhere. Someday we'll get to go there when I die and fly. I'm sorry, that's not what it's about. It's about right now, having that intimacy in us right now. No longer future. How many generations? How many, what do they call them? 1,000-year periods. Millennium. How many millenniums do we have to go through? And somebody else is saying, someday. Someday. I'm sorry, I'm sick of someday. I haven't lived through, I've lived in part of 2 millenniums, but it's enough for me. I'm sick of this passing it on. I want it now. Amen. I don't want to wait. And until you come to this place where you're uninhibited with God, you're not going to desire it now. It's okay to wait. Well, it's not okay to wait. I don't want to wait. I'm talking for myself now. I don't want to wait no longer. Why wait? We've waited for thousands of years and ain't seen nothing but more mess. So why don't we go ahead and change? I want change. I don't know what you want to do. I want change. I'm preaching to myself right now, so excuse me while me and myself have a session here. He said, you've ravaged my heart with the singleness of your vision. I'm going to verse 10. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my spouse. How much better than wine. And the smell of your ointments than all spices or fragrance. Well, that word anointment should be anointing. See, the fragrance of your anointing. You know why? Because when he smells her anointing, what is it? It's him. How much better could that be? It sounds like somebody is just like he is. Doesn't it? Sounds like somebody got close enough to him to be just like he is. Isn't that what our goal is supposed to be? It's not about accomplishing, building buildings, or having programs. It's about becoming as he is. Realizing who we really are already. Isn't it? Already? We're already like him? If I don't believe that, do you think I'll live that way? I've never seen a dog act like a cat yet. I've never seen a rabbit climb a tree and eat hickory nuts like a squirrel. So if I'm going to be a son of God, I've got to believe I'm a son of God, because that squirrel doesn't have any problem climbing that tree every day and eating nuts, because that's what he thinks he is. And I don't want to climb a tree and eat nuts. I want to be a son of God and manifest exactly what a son of God is. And if I don't believe I am, guess what? I'll never manifest it. It's that simple. I got to believe it. I'm not trying to convince myself. I'm trying to tear the veil away from you. You hear me? I want that veil ripped away where you can see yourself. Because if I sit here and tell you you're a son of God until 5 more millenniums, you will never change. You've got to see it. You've got to experience this thing yourself. You've got to believe that you're a son of God. You've got to tear that veil away. I can't do it for you. That's what's wrong with Christianity. They've made it a cult where everybody does something for you. They bought it. They powder your bottoms and send you your way. Well, how about telling you to wipe your own butt? Do something yourself. Stand up and be a man. Take accountability for your life. That's how you're going to see how God is in your life. You've got to grow up. Quit this foolishness of being babies all of our lives. Verse 11. Your lips, my bride, drop as honeycomb. That's the word of God. That's a revelation. This revelation pouring out. Drops as a honeycomb. Did you ever, anybody ever pull a honeycomb out of a beehive? You ever seen it done? What happens? It starts dripping immediately. See, when you had this relationship with your man, you have this veil ripped away, and you're no longer satisfied with someday it'll come, but now it's time, and you start manifesting and being what you already are, guess what's going to happen? It's just going to start to just ooze out of you. And everybody's going to know it because you're going to be so apparent. It's just going to flow out of you. You don't even have a choice in this thing. It just flows out of you because it's there.
The communication's there.
You're just like him. See, you become as he is. It says, honey and milk is under your tongue. Well, milk is the word of God. Honey is the revelation of God. So what are you talking about? The word of God and then the revelation of that word in your life. You know what? I've been accused of being a fanatic. I have. I've been called, what is it? What is that? OCC? Obsessive, compulsive, OCD. I've been called, told I was obsessive, compulsive disorder. You know, it's a mental thing, it termed me, but because I won't change. I have to do this. Yep, you're right, I'm consumed with it. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Too bad. I'm doing it anyway. And a fanatic is someone who won't change their mind, and they won't change the subject either. You can't change their mind, and they won't change the subject. There's nothing else to talk about in my life. I've had all the hell I wanted, all the death I wanted, and now I want the life. I've tasted it, and I'm not going back any place on it. It's going to be that way from now on. Honey and milk are under your tongue, and the smell of your garments is like the smell of what? Righteousness. See, everything about you is righteous and holy. It's not going to be. It already is if you just come from behind the veil. It's all hid behind the veil. It's in our thinking process. If we come out of this, guess what? We are. The kingdom of God, it just is. It's not, the kingdom of God isn't going to be built. It just is. Can you hear me? This is the truth. We got to realize God finished the work. He's not waiting on us to do something. He's waiting on us to hear and believe that He finished it. Oh, God help us. Verse 12, he says, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. Now he's saying, you're a garden, it's all locked up. Man, you're behind the wall. You've got a veil all the way around you. You're a spring. You're a well of water shut up. You're full of the Word of God, but you're shut up because of your inhibitions. Man, come on out. Come on out and play. Man, we can have fun with this thing. We can enjoy life. We can have this intimacy with Him. All we got to do is come from behind the veil. He didn't say, you was a dry spring that someday I'll convert into some water. He said, you are a spring of water. I'm getting excited. I can't help it. You are this thing. It's not something that's going to happen someday. It's a reality in our lives if we will just let it come. Oh, jeez. He said, your plants are as an orchard of pomegranates. The word plants literally branches. Your branches are as the enclosed garden of pomegranates. And pomegranates are a beautiful fruit. And didn't he say all through these first...